those who are able to remain standing for our gospel lesson this morning, a reading from the gospel according to John chapter 3 verses 1 through 8. Hear the word of God. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God."
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, God who is our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Reverend Tom Berlin, who's the author of the resource we've been using for our Lenten sermon series called Restored, Finding Redemption in Our Mess, tells the story of going to the local home improvement store to buy some 2x4s for shelving in his garage. He said he picked up a few birds and realized they were neither straight nor true. They warped left or right, up or down. So one by one, he said he would take a bird and look down the length of it, and if they were straight, he put them in his cart. If they were warped, he cast them aside. He said he saw a man beside him doing the same thing. For the project he was doing, the boards could have a slight variance, but he really didn't want to pay for a truly warped board. He said he didn't want to go through the hassle of forcing a warped board to conform to the specs that were called for in his plans. Reverend Berlin suggests that we, like those boards, are warped. We've gotten out of shape. And no matter how much we try, maybe we think we could, like, stack some weights on an end or something. No matter how much we try to ignore the parts that are sticking up and out and maybe hope they will just go away, we can't fix ourselves. We need help, both to see where our vulnerabilities are and to know how to get things turned around. And the good news about our relationship with God in the midst of our warpedness, my spell checker didn't like that warpedness word, but I like it. I think it's a good word. God doesn't discard us when we're not true. God does not cast us aside. God gives us the gift of justifying grace. These witnesses for the power of transformation show us what can happen when we surrender our lives to God and open ourselves to God's transformative power. And this is true no matter how warped we might be, no matter how deep the mess is that we're in. You've heard their stories. These are people who have been in some pretty deep times of mess. They've been in prison. They've been homeless. They've been banging their head against a wall. They've been caught up in abusive relationships. They've hurt others. They've considered suicide. They've been at the very end of their rope. But through the power of God and their surrender, they have been made new. That same kind of transformation is what Christ wants to offer to each one of us. But we do need to know that it ain't an easy journey. And all of them said that as well. And that's kind of what Nicodemus is wrestling with as he comes to talk with Jesus. We're not exactly sure why Nicodemus came to see Jesus at night, in secret. Maybe he was afraid to be seen with Jesus since he was kind of a controversial guy to be hanging out with, but maybe he was also afraid to reveal his own insecurities and hang-ups. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, very well-educated, a leader in his community. People came to Nicodemus to find answers. Answers to their questions about the law and how God works. But Nicodemus was finding himself with questions of his own. How can you possibly be born again? Nicodemus couldn't get his head wrapped around that. And any of you who have either witnessed a childbirth or have given birth yourself, you probably understand where he's coming from. Childbirth has to be one of the most painful and unfathomable processes of our human condition. Reverend Berlin shares how he has seen each of his four daughters enter the world and how none of them emerged with a smile on her face. His wife probably wasn't smiling much either. None of them looked around and said, "Thanks, what an enjoyable and invigorating process that was." Why would we want to go through that again? And yet, isn't that just it? As Reverend Berlin shares, birth requires struggle, pain, rushing, rude awakening, entrance into an existence that is fundamentally different from the one we've grown accustomed to. And a spiritual new birth involves a similar kind of experience. While many of us wish we could just pop out like Athena, fully formed and wearing our armor, in real transformation, pain is part of the deal. As Reverend Berlin explains, new birth can feel uncomfortable because we're not just coming alive to Christ. We're dying to an old way of living. And the experience of that death, even if our old life was not very great, will include grief for what it was and what it wasn't. That's part of the power of the incarnation, of God becoming flesh and blood and dwelling among us. Did you ever think about the fact that God in Christ experienced childbirth? God in Christ came through the womb and underwent the trials and tribulations of emerging from the sheltered calm of Mary's womb into the uncertainty of a brightly lit world. And remember that the first thing he saw and smelled was a stable. God in Christ endured all that growing up in this human condition entailed. God in Christ faced persecution. God in Christ was spit on, rejected. And God in Christ endured the cross. God in Christ went through death in one of its cruelest and most painful manifestations. In fact, the cross is what we often hold up as the symbol of the power that God has to break the hold of sin over us. Go anywhere in the world where Christians gather, and you will very likely find a cross in one form or another. We wear crosses around our necks. We put it on bumper stickers on our cars. You see it on people's tattoos. And yet, for all this familiarity, there's something very mysterious about this cross. As Reverend Berlin lifts up, why would Christians regard a cruel instrument of execution as a sign of God's victory over sin in our lives? There are many different angles through which we view the cross. Jesus' death has a multitude of meanings that help us in our lives in different ways and different times. From one angle, maybe we look at the cross and are reminded that we are fallen and we are sinful. We cannot help but feel a sense of shame, of grief, that the gift of love that Jesus is was crucified. From another angle, we look at the cross and see that even while we are so full of sin, Christ died for us, refused to stop loving us. We see, if we want to know how much God loves us, we see God stretching out his arms and offering his very life for us. And from yet another angle, we can find hope in that cross, because through the power of resurrection, God accomplished what we could not. Death was not the end of the story for Jesus, and sin is not the end of the story for us. The cross reminds us God sends his own Son to offer reconciliation and possibilities for new life, and this is not an act without pain in itself. God is not some aloof judge who demands justice. God gives his very self. God brings an end to the imbalance that sin creates in our relationships and the guilt we carry for our actions. God meets us all the way and does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. The death of Christ is a tangible act of mercy and love. So how can we look at the cross and not be transformed? How can we look at the cross and not see our lives in a new light? How can we look at the cross and not be convinced how much God loves us, not be inspired to want to offer our lives as a gift to God in gratitude? Reverend Berlin invites us to imagine what our lives might be like without the mess that sin creates. Even when we think about just one sin, the impact can be significant. He gives an example of a woman gazing at a social media site on her laptop. And she looks at picture after picture of friends who seem so happy. Their children are smiling joyfully as they eat pomegranates and whole grain snacks, no potato chips in sight. Their husbands have surprised them with a special outing to celebrate their anniversary. They look fabulous in a new evening dress before a concert. They lost 20 pounds training for a marathon. And as the woman views picture after picture and caption after caption, she starts feeling smaller and smaller. Reverend Berlin continues that sin that is taking root in her life is envy. And the result is an almost overwhelming sense of inadequacy. He says, now consider what her day would be like if she would cooperate with God in removing this single sin. It would change the mental state she carries into every room that she entered. It would affect the words that she speaks to her children, the way she experiences what goes on during her day. She would be a better worker, a better leader, a better neighbor, a better spouse. Most of all, she would dramatically improve her emotional health. So if you were going to tell God one thing you were worried about in your life, what would that be? What would you confess as a burden that controls you? And now imagine your life without that burden. I'll bet if it was suddenly gone, you would feel like a weight has been lifted off your shoulders. You would have less pain and guilt in your life. You would be more joyful. Others would enjoy being around you more. Truly would be a gift. Again, this is not an easy process to get to that kind of place, but it is possible, and it is very real, as we heard in our testimonies. It's part of new birth that Christ wants to offer. As we hear as part of Jesus' continuing conversation with Nicodemus, who is wondering how this can be, we hear in just a few verses later, "For God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Let us pray. Holy and loving God, thank you for the promise of new birth, a new life in Christ. We desire to experience transformation in order to be restored to a right relationship with you, so that we will reflect your image within us. Guide our steps as we live this lifelong journey. Inspire us to take the first step, and then keep on taking the next steps as we grow in faith and love with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In your bulletins, you will find a prayer of confession that we're going to join in and share in together. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess the folly of our sin and the hypocrisy of our complaints. We grumble about the evils in our world, even as we commit injustices and profit through deceit. We fret about the scarcity of resources while hoarding earth's goods and cheating the poor. We protest the problems of our world, but we do not actively work to address them. Merciful God, expose our sins before the light of your grace. Heal our sin and free us from our foolish ways, that we may know the joy of eternal life in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. I invite you to stand.